that's brave enough to say the word deciduous. Talking Trees with John Eisenhower. Rosie on the house.
Have a text question in at 411-923. Mandarin orange tree, all the leaves have curled. That's growing on the north side of a block wall fence and watering 2 hours on drip, two times a week. What do you think?
Well, it might be a little too waterlogged. You know, after the rain we've had, 2 hours of deep soaking twice a week might be a little too often. I would say once a week would be plenty. You might even want to go to a 10-day or a two-week schedule for that deep soaking. Better to even go 3 hours and go about every 2 or 3 weeks. That would be better than 2 hours. Because if you're ever putting water on top of water, it's not a good situation. And that probably is just some wilt due to a little too oversaturation, is my guess. Also, the heavy moisture in our soils can lead to fungal pathogens that can become active in that wet environment. And you definitely don't want to have a fungal pathogen getting active. A lot of our citrus trees fight Phytophthora, which is the most common soil-borne pathogen that affects our citrus trees. One of the professors at the U of A recently just said that there's hardly any citrus trees anywhere in Arizona that don't have Phytophthora at some point in their life. So it's a pathogen that's there in the soil, but it has to have the optimum conditions to become active and start to hurt the trees. And trees that are healthy are often fighting those unhealthy pathogens in the soil. But if the water conditions are moist and stay moist, and then we have some elevated soil conditions, Phytophthora can get active. And one of the signs that you have Phytophthora is those lesions, those cankers that are bleeding sap out on the all of a sudden you see your citrus bark cracking and this amber-colored liquid comes out. That's gamosis, and it's often a sign that you have Phytophthora that's active in the soil. And that can be treated, but it's certainly nice to prevent it, you know, rather by keeping that, allowing the soil profile to dry out adequately between watering. So never put water on top of water on top of water. And if you're in doubt whether the soil is moist or not, take a long screwdriver or a piece of rebar or something and push it down into the soil and see how deep that saturation is. And wait until that soil is dry and resists your long screwdriver. Then you know that soil is dried up and is ready for some more water.
I bought a soil prod from Good. Fisher Tools.
There you go.
That's fiberglass, and it's perfect because it's not metal. Because on a metal one, you could push a lot farther down.
Mm-hmm.
But that fiberglass, it's got just enough tension that you can tell, okay, you know, I'm hitting some solid dirt down here, where that steel one, you could probably get a few inches further before you hit that kind of resistance. And that has changed my entire watering. And I have not had water on. We had a great rain last weekend, and then the week leading up to Thanksgiving, I haven't watered any of my trees
Yeah, and a lot of you have put your sprinkler timers on the rain setting, and good for you. Just save yourself some water, and you'll look at your trees late afternoon, and there's not going to be any wilt for a long time. After that soaking rain we had for those last couple of weeks, you shouldn't have to be watering at all for quite a while, so be careful.
The challenge with curling leaves is you think, oh, I'm not watering enough, so you add more water, when curling leaves can also mean too much water.
Too much water, yeah.
That's where that soil probe really comes in.
That soil probe is really nice. And those of you who want to look one up online, you can look up tile probe, T-I-L-E, because those probes are often used in another industry for looking for sewer tiles. So look up tile probe, and you'll find that 3 or 4 foot fiberglass tile probe, and they're not very expensive. They're well worth the investment. I like the 4 foot one because it does let you get down deeper for some of your larger trees and to see if that depth of saturation has gone beyond that 2 foot, 3 foot depth.
Well, and if you're checking more than one tree, it's a lot faster than getting down on your hands and knees with a screwdriver every couple
feet.
Exactly.
There you go.
Just walk around.
It's got a little T-handle on the top. You can push down and, not have to be bending over.
All right. Before we get to the calls, let's hit a couple of our monthly tree to-dos before we run out of time this hour. Can you already believe we're over halfway through the hour?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's good. Well, you know, we talked about deciduous trees, your elms, your ash, your pecans, your mulberries, your stone fruits. Someone mentioned a crepe myrtle, desert willow, vitex. All these are deciduous trees, and they're going to lose their leaves this time of year. Not only is it a good time to plant deciduous trees, but it's also a great time to prune them. And it's really the best time. Sap's not flowing, and it's a good time to get in there and do some trimming. The speaking of trimming in the winter, we had a last week I did an aerial inspection. Yes, I still climb. I'm 65, but I still don't want to hang up the climbing spurs quite yet. But every now and then I do climb a tree, and I climb this big, tall pine tree because the top of it looked like it was declining, and I couldn't really tell why. And some of these larger trees, to do a good diagnosis of the problem, you need to do an aerial inspection. Sure enough, I got up in the top of this big pine tree and found sooty canker. Sooty canker is an airborne fungal pathogen that affects a lot of smooth-barked trees and a lot of the deciduous trees I just mentioned, like the ash and the mulberries, the pecans. They can get sooty canker quite easily because they're smooth-barked. Sooty canker is opportunistic. It's usually airborne, comes in, and it finds a break in the cambium, in the bark somewhere. So sunburned trees are really susceptible to it, especially the smooth bark trees that are easily sunburned. And those that are open to that, and then we get our monsoon storms come in, one of our big dust storms blows in, and it's carrying a lot of that sooty canker fungus in the air. And it deposits into your trees, and then before you know it, you have an infection.
Now, will that infection spread on a multi-trunk tree?
Sure. Once it's into the cambium, it's really hard to eradicate. If you catch it early enough and it's out in the smaller branches on the tree, the treatment protocol is to just cut into good wood 6 or 12 inches below the infected area and remove that infected piece of wood, and maybe you'll be okay. The problem is it travels through the cambium, through the vascular system of the tree, and the sooner you can catch it, the better, because it will travel from the smaller branches down into the larger branches. And once it's into the trunk of the tree, it's impossible to get rid of.
And how do I tell that I have it?
You'll start to see decline, leaf drop, and you'll also see when you scratch the bark, you'll see some little wet areas often. And if you scratch below those, you'll see black fungal spores. It looks like soot. And if you rub them with your thumb and your thumb is all black, there's little microscopic black fungal spores that account for that sooty appearance. And it's real easy to see. The name defines it, and that also describes it. It's called sooty canker, and you'll find it on your smooth bark trees. If you have it in your yard, you need to take some immediate measures to start getting it under control.
And you would have to look for that sooty black, because right now your deciduous trees, your smooth bark trees, they're already losing their leaves anyway.
Yes.
So that wouldn't be an indication. Look for that black sooty on the physical trunk itself.
Yeah, and sometimes it's underneath the bark, and you only find it on the branches that have died. So when we find that, I went up into this pine tree, and there's several dead branches up in the very top. The bottom of the tree is perfectly green. That's why I had to get up in the top to look. And sure enough, I got up on those branches that had died, and rubbed the bark, and they flaked right off, and I could see the black underneath. But yeah, they also had some sooty canker on some mulberry trees at the other side of their property, 150 feet away. And I'm thinking that it probably transferred from one of those trees to the other. So if you have it in your yard, you want to get it under control, because it can spread to your other trees.
Tree removal. We had a couple tornado warnings, some strong gusts, a few knocked down. I'm sure your tree removal
side of the business was busy.
We
were close to that tornado that apparently touched down near the freeway and the 51 and 32nd Street area. And it was really howling. Woke us up 3:30 in the morning. And it was so windy. And we have a large pine tree right outside our bedroom that I told Kim we better go downstairs. So as soon as we got downstairs, my phone went off, and sure enough, tornado warning, take cover. I've never had that happen before, where we had the warning come up on your phone, and it said, take cover. Well, we had just done that. We were downstairs on my daughter. We sat up on my daughter's bed. The three of us were down there We love storms. I mean, we're crazy. We're the kind of people that run out in the street and do a dance in the middle of the storm. I mean, people from the Midwest would think you are crazy. And we are, because we usually don't have more than just a big blow. But lately, we've had some pretty wicked storms, and it does, you know, give you a pause to consider that we should take shelter and not be so so careless. But yeah, we've had a lot of trees went down in that storm. We had some of the communities, I guess Gilbert got a couple of got a tornado there, and I guess there was one out in Queen Creek. So three tornadoes in a very short period of time, and they can do some damage. But the question is, you know, we don't want to have to remove trees. Sometimes when they fall over, we have no choice to take them out. But, you know, people ask us, you know, why would anyone want to take down a tree, and how do you know if it needs to come down? And like that big pine tree, unfortunately, that big 40-plus foot pine tree that I found the sooty canker in, my recommendation is to take it out, because it's going to cause a very high risk of infection on other trees. And it's starting to decline now, and those dead branches are going to be dangerous and could fall. But there are other trees that just become hazardous because they're getting too large for their location. Maybe they have some other disease, like heart rot at the base of the tree, where the decay is so invasive that the tree could be unstable and fall over. You have other trees that are causing a disruption to the hardscape. And although we are really all about saving trees, there are trees have a reason and a season, and sometimes when that reason and season expire, your only other option is to think about taking them down.
And when you take them down, you can mulch them, and they just provide new growth and new soil condition for the next one.
That's right. By the way, we do have a chip delivery service. If people need wood chips, you know, get on our waiting list, and when we're in your area and you want 22 cubic yards of wood chips, we'll drop them off in your driveway. And
now
then
you can
spend the next 2 weekends distributing them around your yard. But now, they're awesome. The wood chips are awesome for dust control. They keep mud down. They're a wonderful nitrogen recycling, a nutrient source, and they're awesome.
Now, I have been on your list, I think, for 10 years, but you don't get to my side of the woods very often. There is a new website that...
Chip Dump. Yeah.
And I've been on that waiting list, and I saw they had a delivery to Whitman just within the last 20 days. So finally,
nice.
It may look like I'm going to get one, but you can go to this website, get on the waiting list, and different arborists, they work with them as they're cutting down and chipping. It may not even be a tree that was completely taken out. They may have just done a major pruning on a large tree, and they've got all these chips, and instead of them going into
the landfill,
they will come deliver them at your yard. You got to understand, they're not going to be there today.
They may
not be there next week. They may not be there next month, but you get on this waiting list, and as supply becomes available, if you're next on that list, they'll drop it at your house.
Do you have the website again? Is it Chip Dump?
ChipDump.com, I think. Okay. Yeah. It's a great little service. We love it. Just anything to keep that green waste out of the landfill and get it back into the yards where it can really do a lot of good. You know, up in the Pacific Northwest, my son and his tree service, they're chipping their trees right onto their client's property. They never even take the chips off their property because they have a lot of wooded areas and they can do that. Here in Arizona, a little more difficult, but those wood chips are miraculous in what they can do for your yard.